Okay, Boker Shalom. Today's daf is daf Chof Tes in Bechoros. Again, we learn for four Shlomer, for Alfie Shalom, Ben Chai Rochel, and Yitzchak Svi, Ben Brindle. The Mishnah at the bottom of Chof Tes and Beis is as follows. Hanotol Schar, you're not supposed to take money to perform mitzvahs. Let's say Tes Schar Liot Roas Bechoros. We know that about Roas Bechoros can only be a rabbi who's a mumcha, an expert rabbi who knows what is a permanent blemish versus a non-permanent blemish. So let's say you have an animal, a bechor, and you would like to, you know, get rid of it already. You know, if you're a kohen, you want to shecht it. If you're in Yisrael, you want to give it to the kohen, get it shecht it. You don't want it in your property anymore since it's kaddish. So you want to know if it has a mum. And if it's a mum, then a kohen could shecht it and eat it. So anotos chalios roas a bechoros, you take money for that, ain't shechnam piv, you don't shech basins, because you suspect that he's just performing it for the money. So he says, oh yeah, that's a mum, yeah, you could shech it, just for the purpose of the money. Elim keno yomumcha ki'ilu bi'avn, unless he was a mumcha, well-respected person, he was an expert, and he was also well-respected like the famous ilo in Yavnish, etir lo chachomim, the chachomim matam lios notal arba o isros lebehemetakom. They allowed him to take a fee of, let's say, four issers to examine a small animal, Vashisha Lagasin, and he took six isarin for a large animal. Whether the animal turned out to be an unblemished animal or it had a blemish. So the Gemara says, my time. Why? Number one, what's the difference if he gets a certain fee and I take this fee to examine the animal? What's the difference if it's a large animal or a small animal? So he's my time. A smaller one is easier because you got to turn over the animal and set it and examine all parts of it, knock it on its side. So it's easier to do a smaller animal, and therefore he gets less of a fee. And as they said, he's entitled to that fee, but normally he's the exception. Normally nobody else is allowed to do it. Nobody else can take money. So we understand, what do you mean he's taking money to examine it with a subtam bamum? So by our standards today, we say, listen, if you're an expert, determined. For example, we take our clothes first to the shotness guy, right? Now, he's going to make a lot more money, presumably, if he finds shotness, because then you got to give it to a tailor. Maybe he's the tailor, whatever. If he doesn't find shotness, it's clean. So I guess he takes the same fee, whether he finds it or he doesn't find it. The lechora, he might be inclined to find shotness to show that he did something. So the Gemara says, Bisham of the Balmum Mishum de Kusharli. I understand why he gets a fee if the Kohen, or in this case the Yisrael, takes it on behalf of the Kohen. He gets fees, but it's a blemish. You can shecht it. So I understand you did the guy a favor. El Atam Amai, why does he get a fee for saying that it's Tom? Just the opposite. This guy thought he had a blemish, and he schlepped there to the expert and says, listen, can you show me that it's a blemish so I can shecht it? And he says, no, it's not a blemish. I got to pay you for that. Because if he's not going to be able to get a fee for either way, they'll say, and he's only going to get a fee when he says what? When he says balmum, they'll be choshim. Hi balmum tamu. This balmum is really not a balmum. Behind the kashari leim shemagra. In other words, they'll come to be choshim. Because if he only gets a fee when he paskins that it's a blemish, so every time he gets a fee for the blemish, he'll say, oh, it's really not even a blemish. He's just saying that, get the fee. Even if certain times he claims that it's not a blemish, even if he's honest, but if people know that he's only going to get a fee when he says there's a blemish there, every time he gets a blemish, he'll say, oh, it's just really not a blemish, he's just saying it for the fee. That's the case, tam nami. I can tell you about this also. When he says there's a tam, think about it. You have an animal, you bring it to me, I'm the expert. If I say it's unblemished, you got to come back next time, right? Eventually, you got to keep coming back to find out if there's a blemish or not until the animal dies. So I'm better off saying it's not blemished so I can get return business, right? It's like a doctor who wants to keep you sick in order to keep you coming back or whatever, or a lawyer or a psychologist or any of these guys whose interest it is in you coming back to them, not in you getting rid of you. So... see, now that there's no doctors or lawyers here this morning, I'm free to say as I please. Anyway, Ami Hai Bal Mum, Tamu.
Psychiatrist.
Look, the name of the game of all these therapists is to get you in their calendar ad mei avestrum. They don't want to fix your problem. They fix your problem, they're out of business. They want you coming back every Monday at 1 o'clock for the rest of your life, right? people say he's about mom, atam tamu. They'll say he's really he's a vaide kasharli mishum agro mishum agiyachi tam nami ami bal mumu vaide lo kasharli. They'll say when he says it's tam, it's unblemished. They'll say no, really, it has a blemish. The reason he says it's not blemished is sovakiyach lishkal agro is in mechritos. He should come back again and again. You don't have to keep coming back. So the answer is. Chadzim the tekin l'rabbanan, treizim lo tekin l'rabbanan. In other words, like this, the chacham only allowed him, even him, the tzaddik, the trusted person, he'll get a fee if he says it's a bamum, and he'll get a fee if he says it's a tam, but only one time. The tam he only gets one time. Notice they said we're going to limit it. You can't. You're not going to get a fee every time you say no. It's unblemished. You should keep coming back. You get a fee one time. You get one for the tam and one for the muad. No more. All right, so that's what happened. But basically, you know, we get so entangled discussing Elo, we understand that the Chum really said is, you can't take any money. If you take money, you're not trusted. You can't shecht based on, one cannot shecht his animal based on what this paid examiner says. Hanotus char lo dun, simple. If you take money, you be a judge. A judge is harah. That's Torah, right? Teaching Torah and giving harah is the same thing. You can't take money for this. Ma? As soon as you get paid, that's when you're in trouble. That's right. Dino Batel, his judgments are batel. He's not a judge. Later, if he gets money for testifying, also, guy gets paid to testify. You imagine, even in Galatia course, we understand that. Were you paid to come here and testify? Sure, the mafia paid me. They told me exactly what to say. You know, that's exactly that. That's forbidden in any court. So I doesn't pay him. Lahazos, if you get paid to be mazeh the mechatos or lakadish or to mix the mechatos, name of meimara efro makol. His mayim is nothing. It's like water out of cave. It's like running water, tap water. His efer is not efer chatos, but it's rather efer makol. That's stam efer. Stam ashes are called efer makol, like that of a stick. You know, it's nothing. You don't get paid. Imo your coin. Let's say the examiner was a coin. And the person who hired him says, listen, you got to come and check this for me. Check my animal, check something, come and check it. And when he took him, he was metamayim because he went through, a cemetery or something. We'll talk about how he was metamayim in a minute. He's metamayim. Now you've cost me. What are you saying? If I'm an examiner, I'm allowed to take money, right? But let's say I'm the examiner and I'm a kohen, and now by doing the examination, I've had an out-of-pocket expense. Now you understand what happens. Normally, a kohen buys his food cheaply because he's the only one who can eat truma. Truma is a very small market. Smaller market, higher prices, right? Whereas chulin, a kohen can eat truma or chulin, but only a kohen can eat truma. As such, truma has a very small market. And it's a small market, and as you could have a lot of truma, but very few people who would be interested in buying it. Therefore, your market is less, the prices are lower. So he's normally entitled to eat truma. Now, all of a sudden, his household expenses have gone up because now, since you've metame him, he can't eat truma anymore. Now he's got to buy a chulin at the regular prices like everybody else. So what do you have to do? So you have to feed him machilo. Now you've cost him also machilo. You have to feed him mashka. You got to drink him a sachon. You got to anoint him. Do whatever, you know, whatever costs at the health club, whatever he needs to do because he can't buy truma anymore. Or at this point, he can. But if he's an older man, give him a ride. And you pay him like a worker. Now, you just said you can't take money for making judgments and examining things, examining the horse. But over here, where you've caused, he's had a loss to do it. You see, that's different. You caused a loss that you can make up, and you pay him. We'll see what paying him is like, and you got to give him his feet because he doesn't have to get paid to do it, but he doesn't have to take a loss either. We'll see. Well, tomorrow we'll talk about the kapoas like we had many times with Gemara. It's like he's a poa who's bottled from his work. So in other words, let's say he's a schlepper all day, and he gets paid $5 a day to do a lot of schlepping. How much would a guy who schleps how much would he get of a fee to be an examiner, something which doesn't require any physical toil? Say, you know, for that I'll take $2. So that's what you're paying. Minoni Million, how do we know this business that you can't take money for examining and for doing judgments, etc.? I mean, I'm reviewing, I'm robbed. I'm going to pasuk says, Moshe says to them, Re'eli Manati Eschem. He says this in Baschan, Re'eli Manati Eschem, see, I have taught you.
I have taught Mani Bechinim, just like I've taught you Torah for free. Afatem Bechinim, you must also teach Torah for free. Tanya Mihachi, Kasher Sivani Hashem Elokai, like God has commanded. Imani Bechinim, just like I am Bechinim, Hashem told me to teach it Bechinim. Afatem Bechinim. Umanayin Shem Lomotza Bechinim She Ilamet Beschar. Right, Shem Beschar. Let's say you can't find somebody to teach you for free. That's not so simple to find somebody who's going to teach you Torah for free. So let's see, if you can't find somebody, you have to pay. Talmud Lomer, Emes Kenei, buy the truth. Emes, of course, is the Torah. The truth, the Torah is the truth. But if you have to buy it, so just like I learned it for payment, I could also teach it to others for free. Talmud Lomer, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Emes Kenei, Va'al Timkor, buy it and don't sell it. So the Gemara, you know, the Pasuk Pshat in the Proverbs is, you know, whatever you have to do to get the truth, even if you have to pay for it, but don't give it away, don't sell it. Here we're saying it means you should buy Torah, meaning if you can't get it for free, buy it, pay for it, but don't sell it. You shouldn't take money for it. That's the source for that you're not allowed to take money for teaching Torah. So people who have to, give money to teachers and rabbis, etc. So the answer is the explanation is that they're not really getting money for the Torah per se. They're getting money. That they would otherwise get, if they were a fireman, they would get X amount of money. So just pay them, you know, pay them the for their time, but not for actually teaching the Torah. All right, lahazos ulakadesh. Like I said, you could all. And then the argument is how much is that worth? You know, lahazos ulakadesh. Let's say again, if you take somebody took money to sprinkle the mei paraduma or to mix it, mei memorai farai farmakle, is water is worthless and is ashes are stam ashes. They're not ashes of the. Of the paraduma. You can marry a girl with that. You can give her the mechatos and the eferchatos. Now, if it's not worth anything because you can't take any money for it, so how is it? You have to give a girl some money, a ring, something that's worth something. Even though he's a Yisrael, meaning normally Kohanim do it, but even if he's Yisrael, he's not. It's a good kedushin. It's rare that he should be the one to mekadesh it. Yisrael should mekadesh it or mix it or sprinkle it. But if he did it, he did it. But it's still not worth anything. So how could you say that it's mekadesh? You say it's Yisrael, it's a good kedushin, even though he's not normally the one who has the mekadesh. In Yisrael, it's still a good kedushin. You just said now that it's not worth anything. He can't take any money for it. Our mission is speaking about the schar for sprinkling and mixing it. That you don't have to take. So that's mamish hechsher mitzvah. You don't have to take money for that. And if you took money for it, we assume you're a faker and it's not good. But over here, where it says you're mekadesh nishan with that, that's when the schar that you got to schlep the parah aduma from Haifa to Yerushalayim, or to schlep the water to be a vasser treger from Efrat up to Yerushalayim, to the schar for that, that's not already hechsher mitzvah. That's like a pre preparation for that. There's no issur in taking money for that, and you're entitled to that. And that's what we say. Hamakadosh mechatos bei frachatos. We mean over there, not literally mechatos, but the money that you would get for doing that kind of work, right? And that you're entitled to. That money is legitimate money. You can kadosh issur with it. Umar says now dekanami. You see that also in the words diktani. Here it says to sprinkle and to mix the water. There doesn't talk about the sprinkling or the mixing. It just says mechatas, the water, the chatas, efer chatas. It could be even the efer that was brought from far away. The chatas was brought from far away, not literally the efer, because the efer you burn only in Har Zeisim, but it means with the value, the money that you got for bringing it from far away, that you're entitled to that money. You can kadosh nisha with it. It's always the explanation, par explanance, the example, par excellence of is it yours? You own something. The Yashas can be Kaddish Nisha with it. Because Kaddish Nisha is something you have to give of your own money. Something else could be a matana, something else could be a gift, a loan. You have to be Kaddish Nisha with something that belongs to you. You know, the rabbi always says, did you give it to him? Was it worth a penny? Is it his? The father bought him the ring. Hey, old man, did you give it to the kid? Because the father's not being Kaddish the girl, the kid is, you know. So you got to make sure it's his. So he has to have something of value. So he's like this. Let's say this expert who was hired to examine the Bechor or to give it in Torah or whatever, and on the way you were metame him, he was a Kohen, and now you've caused him a loss because now he's got to pay extra money for chulin, etc. And he can't do his regular work, etc. You got to make up for it. How did he go? He's a Kohen, right? You were metame him. So since you're Matami, you got to pay him extra. But how can the coin go? We know a coin can't go to a basic force, can't become Tomei. He's also a Matami. And a kohen's only allowed to be tummy to his seven next of kin. Kohen gadol to nobody except for meis mitzvah, right? But how could he? How could a kohen be tummy? The answer is we're not speaking about really went into a he went into a cemetery. He went into a base of pras. Rabbanan. Dam Rav Yudah Marav. When a pechad a base of pras beholach. What's a base of pras? A base of pras we discussed many times is a field in which there was a grave there, but the field was plowed up. There's no more body there. Because the whole field was plowed up, dug and dug. All that could be there is remnants of bones. Bones are not metami ba'oil if you walk over it, if you fly a plane over it. I still don't understand that flying the plane thing, because that's self-contained. But the tumah boka ba'ola, you know, they're talking about different routes and the whole air control. Anyway, whatever. You know, that the planes have to... Yeah, they do that. They change the routes. Anyway... So you go because we all that tumah boka ba'ola. In other words, what's the whole concern? If you're in a cemetery and you're a kohen and you know that every body is buried there under the ground, and there's a posech tefach in the kever, then there's no problem because it stays within. The problem, of course, is that you don't know. There could be loose bones. There could be all kinds of stuff. The grave could have caved in, and if there's no posech tefach between the body and the top of the grave, when I say grave, I mean coffin or whatever enclosure is there. Then the tumah goes straight up. And if a kohen is hovering 100 miles over it, he's still tummy. What bothers me is that you're in the plane. Is that not a protection? That's like a separate OL, but whatever. Anyway, they are concerned about it. You know, so somebody says that all of Eretz Yisrael has got dead bodies all over the place, but we don't. But well, you know for sure. So why don't you say kohen go to the cemetery too? Because you're walking here. Also, there's that. The answer is when you know for sure you're not allowed to. So you gufei hecheos, how did he go? So that's the base of us rabban. So this base of process of field which plowed up. So there's no more tumas oel because there's no body left here. All you could be is a small bone, and the etzim is matami kasori. Even a dead human bone. The size of the size of a bean is metame by touching it. So here are the concerns: you might touch it. So it's only tumah rabbanan. Why? Because as Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm Rav. Let's say you have to go to your carbon pesach. You have a carbon pesach. You don't bring carbon pesach. It's an isser karis. So what do you see? And you have to. The only way to get there is through this base of process. The road is blocked except for a base of process where a field was plowed up. You're allowed to go. What you do is you keep blowing. You make sure that you don't step on. You don't touch any. Okay, you don't touch any. Rav Yehuda Barami Mishpeid Rav Yudomar Beis Prasha Nidish. Let's say it was trotted upon. Nidish means, you know, you stepped on it. It was like, you know, people walked on it. Millions of people walked on it. So there can be no bone exposed. That's tar. So very simple. And I was just talking about how did this kohen go there? How did it become tameh? Because he's only tameh rabbanan. That's all. It's tameh rabbanan. Tumah Rabbanan also prevents him from eating truma. Our concern is, if he's only Tumah Rabbanan, why can't he eat the truma that you have to make up? And now he's stuck, he can only eat chulin, he's got to pay the higher price. Because the basic process is an Issa Drabbanan. So Tumah Rabbanan, then Ranan said, it's Tumah Rabbanan, you still can't eat truma. However, you can eat your carbon pesach there because we rely on the fact that you didn't actually touch the tumah. Since this is only a Tumah Rabbanan, Mid rice so the field was plowed up, there's nothing to be concerned about. But Mid Rabbanan, you might come to touch something. As I said, you got to be more careful. But for truma, it's your tumah. Inami b'shar tumah lo mazalah. Very simple. The kohen became tumah. By other times, a kohen is prevented as usher for him to. He's prohibited from becoming tumah to a dead body, except for his seven next of kin. But any other dead body, he's prohibited from. He's not prohibited from touching a dead carcass of an animal, which is also metame a person tumah omnam for one day. It's not mechata. So he's tumah that way. He's still tumah. He's tumah candy truma for that period of time. Whatever the period of time is, he's tumah even if it's for one day. Yenam shams lo mazur alayu. Rashi gives an example. Ashar tumas or what? Like Rashi's on Amud Aleph. Yenam shar tumas timulai koin kuyon nevelus ushrotzim sheinu mazur a dead body, a dead carcass, or a dead reptile. Okay. Imo yizakim akiva alachamor. Tana says so. The Tanaka and you pay him like a poet, like a worker. Tanaka poel batal, like a worker who is not working. In other words, how much he's willing to take for not working. Rabbayaka poel batal shal osa melacha. You all get the same fee. A diamond worker who gets paid $10 a day, and, you know, a diamond cutter, and he's got a nice easy work, gets to sit on all day, doesn't have to go work out in the fields. So you tell him, how much are you willing to take a day off from work and just paskin the shiloh for us? You know, how much? Oh, I'll take $8. You know, because my work isn't that difficult. But if the same, let's say, a laborer in the field got $10 a day, and you say, listen, how much do you like to take just to sit and give us a judgment? You know, for work? I'll take $2 just to take the day off, you know? So it all depends on the individual work. And that's what you're doing here, too. So the idea is that in these cases, he's not getting paid to be a judge. He's not getting paid to be an expert witness. He's getting just paid, just making up his loss. And his loss isn't a total loss, right? You don't say he has to get paid $10 because he did get a day off from work. A person who's chashud b'choras, that is to say, he's chashud, he's a farmer. Now, a farmer's got a big problem if he doesn't have a goyisha partner, because all his firstborn males of his sheep and his cattle have to be given to the kohen. He's got no choice here. So, unless they get a mum, yeah, boy, I got to take care of it until it gets a mum. I got to take care of it for 3 years, I can't get any work, I can't milk it, I can't shear it, I can't do work with it. Man, this is just a big expense in my head. So, some of the people might have, let's say, taken it to the slaughterhouse and say, oh yeah, it had a mum, of course it had a mum. So that's a chashal b'chars. It's in a case like that, in lo kumeno bosses from, you don't even buy deer meat from him, because the deer meat might be a mix of, might say, oh, this is deer meat. It's really calf meat that he shechted, wrongly, right, against the law. And he sells it as calf. You can't even buy that because it's all red meat. Below Orishanabu, you also can't buy any hides that were not tanned, that were not processed. Now, why could you buy the hides that were processed? We'll see what I think. Blood drummer, look men orish on the cave. You could buy female because you could tell by the hide, the kiva, the female's got different marks. Got where it has the udder, where it has the private parts, right? So you could tell. Look men orish on the cave. But the Tanakama doesn't say that. You want to say why can't according to Tanakama? Obviously, you could tell if it's in the cave. They look men at some mulubim. So you don't buy any wool from him. Where even if it's clean or pashpirat, is that if it's dirty, because the wool could have been from a firstborn that he suspected of killing before he got a mum. Alkmano tavi obugadim. You could buy from him if it's spun or clothing. We'll see why. Why could you buy from this? We said that'll be the discussion. Why can you buy oros that hides that were processed or wool that was made into clothes? You can't buy wool, but you can buy spun wool and clothing. Why? We'll see why. Buzzard spun. Why can't you buy buses from him? That's buser v'tzvi, the mechuf b'de'egel, because you could mix it up with a calf. In other words, he might have shechted a non-blemished calf and sold it as deer meat. Now, deer is not chayv and b'chor, right? Only cows and sheep, right? You don't have to get b'chor. So he'll say this is a denizen or whatever it is. Denizen, whatever it is. Venison. That's what?
Deer meat.
Does anybody sell that today? They sell it.
New York one.
Yeah? Okay. I mean, does anybody sell kosher? Where'd you have it?
Oh,
Levana, I remember that. 21st Street? Or the Upper West Side?
The Upper West Side.
Yeah, okay. I remember.
I saw they had Buffalo.
Yeah. Now, they told you that it was might have been calf meat. That's exactly what the Gemara says over here, right? Right. My rabbi only knows that it's kosher. He doesn't know where it came from. So it wasn't from the mechuf. He wasn't the shochet. You understand? They brought in the meat when the black guy brought in the big side of meat. They told him this is what is it? Venison. Venison.
They also had slav.
What?
Slav.
What's that?
Slav.
Oh yeah.
Quail.
Okay.
Bird.
Yeah. Okay. Huh? Pheasant.
Quail.
Pheasant is quail. Is the same thing?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. All right. All right, whatever. Anyway, we'll ask the farmer. Busset swam, like I like to do. I'll have the fish. Busset swam the mechlef bet egel below oris ain avudim, and not hides that are not processed. Now why? Right. Part of avudim zim, but you could buy from him. Hides that were processed. Why? Because if it really is b'chor, he wouldn't have bothered, right? Suffer ishamu bi rabbanan mitzvah minoi. Notice he's afraid of this. He's always afraid of getting caught. So this, it's very easy. Since the meat all looks the same. I don't care if it's venison, if it's calf meat, if it's goat meat, a piece of meat, you could always say, you put enough stuff on it, you could always put enough, A1 steak sauce or something. You could always fool somebody, right? They serve dog meat and they cooked it real well and they said it's a steak, whatever. You can always fool something. However, but here it takes a lot of work to process a hide. And if I'm found out, You know, they find out about me. I put all this effort in, and it's a total loss for me. He's not going to bother doing that much. That's what he's saying. So you can buy from him a processed hide because he won't put so much work into it, knowing that if he gets caught, it's really going to be a big loss. If he gets caught on the meat, all right, you know, not so bad, but he's not going to put all the Lezer Amalokamena Orishal Mekeva. Now, my time, why can you buy female hides? Because made the idea, because you can obviously tell if it's a female, or if it's a female, it's not a bechor, right? The Tanakhama, so why doesn't the Tanakhama suggest that? Zim Kain, Zohar Nami, because if that's okay, so Zohar also Nami, Chayek Lezuchur, say what he'll do. If you allow female hides, he'll cut off the private parts of the hide, you know, where the hide hits the private parts of a male. And okay, and people say, what do you mean? But it's cut off over here. Where's the part? You know, why is this cut over here? It's, oh, but Omar Akbar Machlua. The mice ate it. You know what I mean? But he'll say, but the Idach, but Rav Lezer will say, you could tell the way Akbar made it. As people know the signs of a mice, you know, the teeth marks or whatever, you can tell the way he is versus a person cutting it. This wasn't done. So therefore, Rabbi Lezer says you could buy that of an akeva, and if you find one that's cut off, you know, then obviously it could be that of a zohar, as people aren't stupid. Now, why can't you buy a whitened tzemer, right? Because you assume it might be that made that of a bechor. So hashem tzemer melubin, and here he put a little work into it already. Like he said before, when he made the hide, he'd be nervous. Here he put a little, and still you say you can't buy from him whitened tzemer, even though he put some work into it. So, I mean, so you can buy certainly dirty wool before it was been hide. Certainly, you shouldn't be able to buy that. This is elachadikan. Really means one thing. Tzemer melubin. So it means wool that was whitened from its dirt. You could buy from spun wool or clothing. If you could buy spun wool, where he's put some work into it, then he might be afraid of getting caught, and still you can't. I'm sorry. If you could buy spun stuff from him, why? Because he wouldn't spin it unless it was okay, because he's afraid of getting caught. So begadim, I certainly could buy begadim. This is my begadim namki. Begadim over here doesn't mean clothes that were made after they were spun. It means like felt material that was never spun. So either if it was spun or if it was felt, that you could buy, because whatever process is involved, he's not going to put that much work into it unless it was okay, because he's afraid of getting caught. Hachashal shvius ain lo kamen opishin. If a person is chashit of shvius, that means on shmit he's suspected of planting, sowing on shvius or selling papers of shvius, which you can't do. If he's suspected of that, you don't buy from him flax. Bafilu sarak, even if it's been combed and beaten, even if it's been processed, you don't buy from him. Avlok menu tavi v'ard, but you could buy from him if it's spun or woven. The same idea, the girsa is different. What's his girsa? Tavi v'ard shemacha begadim, or you could buy tavi begadim. The same idea. Says hashta tavi zavid an arig mi boy. Says my arig tich again. The kasha is if you could buy from him spun stuff, because again he wouldn't take the chance of spinning it. Unless it was okay, because he's afraid of getting caught, certainly you could buy from him if it's woven or if it's a full garment. The answer is my arik tichi. It means like loose pieces. It means like cord, like a rope that was made just from pieces that were not spun. Now, it's either way, that work has been done. Either if it's spun or if it's twisted cord that was made even without spinning, you may buy that. Why? Because he wouldn't invest that work in it unless it was okay. It came from a good source. It wasn't shvius because he's afraid of getting caught and he'd have a big loss. Hachashaliyas marker truma v'shem chulin. Let's say a person suspected of selling truma as chulin, which of course is a terrible sin because you're going to make people. Truma is only can eat my coin. You're going to sell it as chulin. Ein lok men afilu mayim melech. The Rebbe says we're going to constant him. If this guy's basically means if a person suspected of selling non-kosher food as kosher food. If your Marcola guy is selling meat as kosher, and it turns out it's not kosher, that's exactly what you're doing over here. You're selling truma, which is usher to eat to Yisrael, right? Punishment of death, Mitzvah Shemayim. Certainly, so first like that, you give him a knas. You don't even buy water and salt from him, Divrei Avida, as a knas. Rav Shimon Omer, no. Kosher Shbozikas Truma Maisus and Lachmena. You just don't buy from him anything that could be Truma Maisus. That you don't buy from him. But water and salt, where there's no problem, that you could buy from him. Well, I'll see him. He doesn't know the Knas. Rav Yehuda says it's a Knas. Rav Shimon says we don't constant him. We just say, yes, what of what he's suspected, you got to be very careful. But other things that he's not suspected of is okay. He says, "Kol sheish bo zikas or anything." Well, that's what does "kol" mean to include? The kirva dogan ba'arbu shemen zayis. Shemen is a rule of truma on, not on fish. There's no truma on fish, but there is truma on shemen zayis. So he says even the entrails of fish that are mixed in shemen zayis, they mix that in oil. They mix that's how you market fish. You know, you put it in oil. So here also now you can't eat the fish. Why? Because kol sheish bo zikas truma, there's some truma, anything that's related to truma, anything that could be truma involved. In this case, shemen zayit, there could be a chiyuv truma there. He's selling it as chulin. So even the fish that are put in the shemen zayit, you can also not buy that from him because by buying the fish, you're effectively you'd be buying truma. There was a butcher that was suspected of selling tarba d'itma. That means the chaylev of the kidneys, which is osur. You're not allowed to eat that. B'mar d'kansa, in place of clean fat, meaning there are certain fats in the animal that could be eaten. English, instant Rashi brings another word, entrail, over here, v'laz entrail. So certain parts of the animal could be kosher fat, but he was selling non-kosher fat as kosher fat. Kansa Rav Luz when Afilam Guze Rava Pasin, you can't even buy nuts from him. Okay, go nuts. Omalir Papa La Rava, come on, Kribi, so you're going like Rav Yehuda, who gives you a knas that you can't sell anything. He says, no. Ikra Buda Filmay Melech Nami. Why nuts? If it's like Rav Yehuda, you gotta basically close down your whole store. You can't even buy water and salt from him. Nothing. He says, no. La Olam Rav Shimon, he goes like Rav Shimon. Uvi Isura de Gufe Kansinale. He's talking, this is a knas. In the same area as he was talking. Why? Because what's in nuts? Stam dardiki garam guze. Most children are attracted by nuts. Most kids want nuts. What happened is va'azul u'mishamish lebeit hafka. He would go and fool the children of the other slaughterers v'garla banguze, and he would attract them with nuts. And he would say, "Listen, would you like some nuts? I'll give them to you real cheap." And by the way, in place of the nuts, I'll give you the nuts, and can you bring me some fat from your father's store? Now, the fathers of the other fathers would be throwing out garbage fat. What's garbage fat? The fat of the kidneys, which you can't eat. And they would bring a mycelae tarbid, and they would bring him this cheater the fat of the kidneys. Umazmalei barakuts, and he would sell it as kosher fat, right? It sounds pretty far-fetched, but it's not that far-fetched, right? But they could do that, right? So that's why he prohibited him. What?
He could get his own trace.
Yeah, he wanted more. He wanted more. Come on, it's not enough. Yesh lo manarot samasayim. He can only have so much fat. Every animal that he has only produces so much fat, right? But if he gets all the animals in town, gets the first member down, what are you talking about? Wanted more? Why do you go to work every day? You have enough, right? You want more, right? That's how it is. You have enough to eat today. You need more. So you want to get more, and that's what happens. Therefore, when they consummate, he can't sell the nuts. That's really related to the tire. But it's not that he holds like Rav Yehuda, who says, you got to close your store. He's anything related. That's what he means. Anything that could be involved in it. So that's what he pulled up. That's what he suspected for. Yeah.
Why you hunting him here? But
presumably also, first of all, you could say this is something that's a good question. But in the case of Horace, first of all, maybe you would agree. Here we're talking about something which is Misi B'Dei Shemayim, but it's also, you're talking about eating Kachim. Kachim is also Aser. Punishment of death. So I would say that it could be it's the same thing. He said the choshed lios mocher truma. That's just a common thing. Here before we talked about a choshed. What was the case before? A choshed b'choros, right? Choshed b'choros. You don't buy any stuff from a menachanami. So maybe the pshat is he would go not like Rebuta. Maybe he goes like Reb Shimon. In other words, you don't buy from anything that could be mistaken, right? That was the previous Mishnah. The top mission here on Amid Beis. Right. So would Reb Yehuda go that far? Why doesn't he argue in the first mission? The fact that he doesn't argue in the mission sounds like he disagrees there, but maybe because this is Misi B'Dei Shemayim in the case of Truma. And Achanami, but you know, I think, or maybe that, you know, here we're talking about a guy who sells stuff in the store, like a makolet. He's got oil, he's got this, he's got that. So he's chashal, he might be a regular, you know, butcher sells all these kind of stuff. Whereas a chashal al-bechoros, is we were talking about more the owners of the farms, not the, it could be it's the marketing. And as a chashur alios mocher truma l'shem chulin is your regular makolet, you know, selling everything. Whereas a chashur al b'choros, we're talking about the owners, you know, the owner who's cheating. We're talking about at the wholesale level where he's got animals and he doesn't want to have to take care of these animals forever, so he sells them as regular meat, you know. So, but maybe in a farm, maybe you would argue, I don't know. It's also not such. Right? Here we got the next mishnah. Chashal shviyas ain't a chashal ma'isus. Chashal shviyas even a chashal shmita, which is a big isser. You're not chashal from selling ma'isus sheni. That's saying ma'isus sheni. This is not ma'isus sheni. It's regular food. Or chashal ma'isus ain't a chashal shviyas. A chashal zev says you chashal both. Chashal taras. You are chashal for tara for selling. You know, it could be that the stuff is tummy and you're selling it as tahar. Okay, we'll talk about this in the Gemara. B'yeshu chashal shas. Sometimes you chashal taras, but in chashal zel zel. Sometimes you can be chashal for taras, but you're not chashal for the other ones. Zeaklal hachashal davar lo dona v'lo mida. Zeaklal is a little bit misplaced because what's the zeaklal? Because if you're chashal on something, you may not be a judge for that item, and you can't give testimony for the item. But we'll see later on. You could be chashal for the question: are you chashal for somebody else? Are you allowed to? It's only for your own matter. You're not allowed to, or is it even for? Even for others. My time, but what do we say in the mission? We said over here that a chashal shvius ain't a chashal ma'isus. My time, a shvius lo boy choma. Shvius, you don't have to live in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to be in inside the city of Yerushalayim. Ma'isur, keeping the boy choma, since it has to be ma'isur, it's beaten in Yerushalayim. Chomerle, it's more chomer. So a person who might cheat on shvius, oh, ma'isur shen, you got to take up Yerushalayim, so he's more makmanens. Therefore, a person's chashal on shvius, he's not necessarily chashal on ma'isur. This is all the opinion of the Tanakam. We'll see later on. There's another opinion that it doesn't work that way. Not so simple. Chashal and Meiser. It's my time. So again, Meiser is a pidyon. Meiser can be poda for money. Shvi is keeping the kemitzer lay. Veles lepin has no pidyon. Chamir lay. So again, in other words, therefore, it could be that a person chashal on one, he's not necessarily chashal on the other because one can be make, one can be kulam, one can be A chashal al zel zeh, keeping a chashal raisa, chashal on a banan. If he's chashal the over and a daraisa, the person doesn't keep Shabbos, he's certainly not being machmer and muktzah. You understand? Person drives on Shabbos, he's certainly not keeping drabonans. So if a person's chashid and shviyas or a maisa, which is the raisa, he's certainly not going to be chashid on, he's certainly going to be chashid on a drabonan. Drabonan means giving something which is tamei to a person who's no ektaris over here. Yesh chashid al taris, something's chashid al taris, but he's not chashid al taris. My time, he needs drabonan chashid, he's chashid on a drabonan. Of the raisa, he's not chashid on the raisa. For a minu, neman al taris, neman al shviyas. A person's belief for taris, belief for shviyas. But it's mashmash chashal taras. He's chashal shvius, even though he's only a drabana. Maybe a drabana is chashal not a deraisa. Amrloi masnizik shereinu shenoyik betzinu betoch beisa. Amrish is speaking about where we see him being knowing properly in his house. So he's knowing properly in his house when it comes to shvius and meiser. Therefore, if he's chashal a drabana, he's not chashal not a deraisa because we see that he's okay. Since he's chashal even in his privacy of his house, you're not chashal him for cheating in the street. Rav Yani, Rav Shmuel Omer, he doesn't explain the Mishnah differently, explains the Braisa differently. And in the Braisa where he says, if you're Choshen, it's Mashmah, you're Choshen al-Taras, you're Choshen al-Shviyas, so speaking about originally it was Choshen and everything. But also came for the rabbis, Bekabal Tavayu, and they warned him about both things. And then he was Choshen on one of them. Darmina, Migil Choshen al-Chad, Aha Choshen al-Mi Aidech. Since he's Choshen, he had priors over here. He was originally suspected of both. The rabbis warned him. And then, when they saw him anyway going on, so he didn't care what the rabbi said, we assume he's chashed on the other one. But normally, if you're chashed on a drabana, you're not necessarily chashed on a deraisa. All right, we'll pick up here tomorrow, Mitzvah. I'm Rav Baruch Hanan. The word again? Not venison. Venison. How's that spelled? V-E-N-I-S-O-N. But you're not sure if you ate it.